The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Hear what Coach Tomlin has to say about Steelers' win over the Ravens. Hear it?
To be bluntly honest, man, I'm really disappointed in our performance tonight. We did enough to win, but that's all. It was really junior varsity, to be quite honest with you, and it was in all three phases. We couldn't run the ball effectively when we needed to. We dropped too many significant passes, very catchable, makeable passes. We didn't make significant plays in the special teams game. Our kickoff coverage unit wasn't good enough to turn the damn ball.
Cut the sound. We told you we were doing that next segment. Why'd you play that there, bro?
Yeah, I don't control the sound, as you know.
Yes, you do.
We're going to talk about that in a little while. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All NBA forward, Anthony Davis. You know, the one guy who's come around where I look at and I go, maybe he replaces Tim Duncan as the greatest power forward ever one day. But he wasn't getting anything done in the playoffs, you know, and he had decent teams. If he was as great as all that, right? Jrue Holiday and guy, he could have done something. He didn't do anything in the playoffs. Got to the Lakers with LeBron, won a chip first year. He's finalizing a five-year, $190 million maximum contract. Maximum contract. Max contract. Who wrote maximum? To stay with the Los Angeles Lakers. Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul tells ESPN, the deal includes an early termination option prior to a fifth season, 2024-2025. The deal could be signed as soon as today. And the Rockets, of course, agree to a John Wall-Russell Westbrook trade. They had to agree with the Wizards, of course. And the Wizards announced that they're sending Wall and a future first-round pick to the Rockets for Westbrook, because Westbrook is better. You got to add a future first-rounder. It's lottery-protected, though. It's a deal that both players wanted. The deal has been simmering for weeks, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The pick is a lottery-protected, as I told you, in 2023, Woj reports. So what does this superstar trade mean for James Harden and Bradley Beal? And what is the Anthony Davis contract, not to mention LeBron, signing a two-year extension past just this year? So he's there for three more years. What does all this mean? Let's start with the Lakers. The Lakers now are set up for the next 3 years to challenge for the title every year. I don't expect them to win all the time, because this year I think they're going to repeat. But you think Steph Curry's going to win a championship again with the Warriors when Klay gets back? Or with whatever they could do with Wiseman and Wiggins, whether it's play him or trade him? Do you think that the Nets with KD and Kyrie and Caris LeVert and Dinwiddie and maybe James Harden, this sounds like that might win one? Or is Antetokounmpo going to win with Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton? And if not, will he go somewhere that now that team is going to win, because he'll join some super team, right? It's a lot of competition, but I do think the Lakers win this year. And what this means is they have their franchise cornerstone for the next half decade in Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis now has a chance to go down in history as the greatest power forward ever. He's going to have two rings right away. He already got one. And he's likely going to have more than that, even if he gets to three. I know Duncan had five. But Duncan spent his whole career with Popovich. He won as a rookie because the Spurs were excellent. And then Robinson gets hurt. David Robinson, one of the all-time great centers. And then so they get the number one pick in the draft. They look up. They draft Duncan. Then Robinson gets healthy the next year. They got the greatest twin towers of all time, Tim Duncan and David Robinson. So he wins right away in his rookie year. And then throughout, you know, his career, it's Greg Popovich running the show. So they get, you know, they find Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and Kawhi Leonard, and they coach him up. And so it's different. AD didn't have that the first 6 years of his career. If he even winds up with three championships, given the kind of numbers he puts up, he's going to be in that argument with Tim Duncan. Meantime, who's the greatest point guard of all time? Magic Johnson. Magic's the greatest point guard of all time. Apologies to Oscar Robertson, and some people are now even saying Steph Curry. Magic's the greatest point guard of all time. I don't think it's that close. Greatest two guard of all times, Michael Jordan. Who's come closest to Jordan? Kobe Bryant. And before Michael Jordan, who was the greatest two guard of all time? You could argue Jerry West. Kobe and Jerry West are on the Lakers. Who's the greatest small forward ever? Once upon a time, it was Larry Bird. But then LeBron came around, and you can't argue Larry Bird over LeBron. Not anymore. LeBron's greater than Larry Bird. It's greatest small forward ever. Greatest point guard. two of the three, or certainly the second greatest two guard, and two of the top five two guards of all time. Greatest small forward ever. Who's the greatest center ever? Well, in the pre-modern era, Bill Russell. But since the adoption of the three-point shot, the absorption of the ABA teams, like however you want to define the modern era, clearly it's Kareem, right? But if it's not Kareem, who is it? Shaq? And who was Bill Russell's main competition? Wilt?
Wilt.
All played for the Lakers. All played for the Lakers. I mean, Wilt was normally better than Bill Russell. But Bill Russell was like, you know, he was Mr. Game 7. Bill Russell played in 21 Game 7s in his career. Sorry.
Would you just give Wilt his credit? I'm tired of you doing this for
Bill
years.
Russell Wilt played not the game
greatest
seven.
Athlete.
Bill Russell played in 21 deciding games in his career, high school, college, you know, pros. His record was 21-0. And he was doing things like dropping 30 points and grabbing 40 boards. Wilt went away in deciding games, Raj. It's just what he did. If you needed him to score, he did everything but score. If you needed him to pass or rebound, he did everything but that. That was his reputation. And there's a reason he didn't win a lot. But Wilt was also an unstoppable force and one of the greatest of all time. And clearly in the argument for greatest center ever, and certainly in the pre-modern era, greatest center ever. And Kareem, you know, like Hakeem was amazing. He might be the guy you actually want on your team, but Kareem got an argument, greatest basketball player ever. Like LeBron, MJ, sorry, but Kareem was right there with you in his prime. And he was also the greatest college player ever, by far. I mean, so you look at the – and now AD, if AD is in that conversation, in that debate as greatest power forward, you got the one with Magic, the two with Kobe, the three with LeBron, the four with AD, and the five with Kareem. In the all-time debate, the Lakers are bringing guys like Jerry West and Shaq and Wilt off the bench. Oh, it's amazing, this franchise. But by the way, when I was a kid, the Lakers had six titles. The Knicks had two. The Celtics had 13. And I used to imagine, wait, by the time I'm the age I am now, right, like 40-something, will it, maybe the Knicks can catch them. You know, they draft Patrick Ewing. Oh, he's going to be the next Bill Russell. Well, except he scores, too. Oh, it's going to be great, and we're going to win all these titles. Didn't happen that way. But you know what did happen? The Lakers, who were already a premium kind of franchise, they were number two all-time championships. Since then, Dr. Jerry Buss bought the team, the late, great Dr. Buss. And now his daughter, Jeannie Buss, is running the show. And since the 79-80 season, they have added 11 championships. There was a time when the Lakers were in like two-thirds of all finals played for a bunch of years, like stretching into decades, and they had won like half of those or two-thirds of those. Like, it's insane. The fact that anyone ever caught the Celtics in championships won in the NBA is amazing, and it was the Lakers, and they just did it, and they're going to pass them this upcoming season. What a franchise. And what a continuation of the late, great Dr. Buss, the greatest owner in the history of American team sports, by far, of his legacy, what Jeannie Buss has done so far, 3 years after she took the handcuffs off. Because Dr. Buss, essentially his dying wish was, let's use this family business to keep the family together. Jeannie, you can be in charge of business operations. Jim, you'll be in charge of basketball operations. Other siblings doing other things. And Jeannie, you know, she abided by his wishes for a while, I think 1 year longer than she ought to have, and eventually realized she has, you know, she's a steward. You know, the Buss family never really looked at themselves as owners of the team. They were stewards of a public trust in L.A., the Los Angeles Lakers, and she realized she owed it to the fans. Got rid of her brother, and 3 years later, won a championship, and looks like they're going to repeat based on the team on paper. What a job. What a franchise. Number one franchise in the history of basketball on planet Earth, or the known universe, for that matter. Is KC there? Raj? All right. KC is there. KC Joyner, the football scientist, joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So much attention, Casey, is being paid to the abysmal NFC East getting a home playoff game. What are your thoughts of the strength of divisions in the NFL right now?
Strength of divisions in the NFL right now, I mean, if you look at the one lost record of the divisions, actually the Steelers, not surprising being 11-0, they're the AFC North would be the leading division because they've got also the Ravens are still 6-5 and the Browns are 8-3. So that's the best division. And then it goes NFC West, AFC West, NFC South. Then you get the NFC North, AFC East, and AFC South. So it's kind of surprising that the AFC South, you would think they'd be a little more competitive, but they're tied for next to last in division strength. And it makes a difference because when I've looked at this in the past, you've got to come from a strong division typically if you want to win the Super Bowl.
Go ahead, Casey.
Sorry. Since 2002, when the NFL went to 8 team divisions, that's 18 Super Bowls in that time frame. So it's 36 appearances in the Super Bowl, and there's 18 winners of those Super Bowls. The teams that finish 1-4 in division rank, in other words, if you're in the division that ranks anywhere from 1st through 4th, as far as overall one loss record, you're accounting for 13 of those Super Bowl wins. If you're in the division that finishes 7th or 8th, only 4 of the 36 appearances in this span have come from teams that finished in the divisions that rank 7th or 8th, and only 1 Super Bowl winner in that time frame. So if you come from a weak division in the NFL, you're almost never going to get to the Super Bowl, and if you do, you're almost never going to win.
Why? Now, listen, it seems to me that's because you're not very good. That's, you know, you're in a weak division, you won it, you were a little lucky. But do you think there's another reason that could be?
I think I did a study for this in a book I wrote back in the mid-2000s called Blindsided. And
I read it.
One of the things, thank you.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
Blindsided. Hold on. Wait a minute. Blindsided was the title of the book. I don't have it in front of me. As I recall, it was Blindsided, and it was the subtitle was Why the Left Tackle is Overrated and Other Contrarian Ideas or something like that. Is that right?
That is correct. Why the Left Tackle is Overrated and Other Contrarian Football Thoughts. Yes, that's
football
exactly
thoughts.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. All right. There you go.
I was surprised when I did the study for that book that the 80s Bears, because you think, I mean, this is the Super Bowl shuffle Bears, the 85 Bears, 15-1, dominated that Super Bowl. They only make one Super Bowl, and they win that Super Bowl, but that's it. And one of the reasons that I surmised from that book that they didn't make it is because when you looked at their division in that span, I mean, they're beating up on the Lions. They were just as bad then as they are now. They were beating up on Green Bay was bad back then in the 80s. They were terrible. You're talking the 80s Bucks were awful, too. They have all these terrible teams in the division. Minnesota would give them a run for their money every once in a while. But they're beating all these awful teams. And then they go in the playoffs, and they face these teams from the NFC East. And these NFC East teams, where you're talking the Giants, the Parcells Giants. You're talking the Joe Gibbs Washington team. You're talking the Eagles, who were still you know, a physical team back then. I mean, you're talking so many tough opponents. You're talking even the Cowboys were not a terrible team back then. And the Cardinals even contended for the NFC East title for a couple of seasons during the 80s. So all these teams are sharpening, you know, metal sharpens metal. They're playing all these other tough teams. So when they go face an NFC Central team like the Bears, and they've had to beat up on all these weak opponents, I just think that the Bears only had to play to a certain caliber of a certain level during the season. When they got to the playoffs, they couldn't step up.
So in other words, in the age-old debate, basically, between you don't want to be worn down playing tough games before the playoffs versus, no, you want tough competition to get you ready for the playoffs, the numbers say, at least these numbers, according to this kind of study you've done, suggests that you want tough challenges to prepare you, even if it means there's some attrition in terms of health, that the tough challenges prepare you better to win. By the way, that jibes anecdotally with the Giants, who upset the undefeated Patriots. Right, Tom Coughlin had to make a decision. Does he? They were in the playoffs. Does he rest his starters? And he thought, nope, we're not gonna rest our starters. They were a wild card team. We're gonna play this Patriots team, and they lost to the undefeated Patriots last game of the season in a very tough game. But they took that with them to the Super Bowl and upset the Patriots. So Coughlin was right to play them. You know, metal sharpens metal. Meantime, the AFC North. The toughest division in football seems to me pretty clearly, Casey, to be the NFC West. And Pittsburgh's undefeated record against a mostly soft schedule so far, I think, is skewing your numbers there.
Yeah, that's the thing. Cleveland's, you know, they're benefiting from the same schedule, too. So I think it's the entire AFC North that's kind of benefiting from the weakness of the schedule. So And mind you, the number one division tends to do better in the playoffs, but it's really, you got to finish number one through number four is really where it gets stacked.
Top half.
It starts with, yeah, top half. If you're top half, you know, one doesn't necessarily do that much better than two or three, but you want to finish in the top half. So you just can't be playing, you know, I guess you got to feed up on steak. You can't feed up on cream puffs during the season. So I think the AFC North, I think the division record might drop some too, because I bet the Steelers are going to lose a couple down the stretch. And the problem is though, if you're looking at the AFC East and the AFC South, they're tied for sixth right now, and those two divisions are
no Titans, no Colts. No Titans, no Colts in the Super Bowl. Most of us think, basically. Hey, Casey, so that's good. It jibes with, like, intuitively what we do. Well, let me ask you this. In terms of DraftKings stuff, because all the other stuff is great and everything, but I need to know how to beat all my enemies in DraftKings. And by enemies, my sports enemies, I mean my colleagues, my friends, my siblings. Let me ask you this. What quarterbacks do you like this week? Sorry, what quarterbacks? Tell me some value here.
Some value. I'm going to go against the grain on this one. I think that Mitchell Trubisky is actually going to be a pretty good play this week, because I think the Lions, with their new head coach, you know, he's their former offensive coordinator, and they've put up 370 more offensive yards in most of their games this year, and I think that he's going to want to showcase, hey, here's what the offense can do, so he has a better chance of possibly getting that job. So I think that they're going to be trying to make it high scoring, and I think the Bears are going to have no choice but to keep up. And Trubisky, if you look at the Lions, defense is not very good, and Trubisky did well last week. I mean, I understand the circumstances, but still, he put up the points, and I think that he could be in that same kind of circumstances.
Listen to me, Casey. I'm not taking Trubisky. They might want to keep up, but that's different than being able to keep up. You know, if it's a foot race, I'll take Trubisky, but I want to see him throw the ball down the field. Who else you got? I ain't taking Trubisky.
Okay, well, we'll see if that one goes. I'm still liking Taysom Hill against the Falcons. I think that's going to be a very high-scoring game. I think the Falcons could do quite well. I'm not liking someone who I don't like as much. I don't like Josh Allen as much this week because I hate his matchup, so he's one who I might avoid. Other quarterbacks who I might consider playing would include I'd like Roethlisberger, too. I think that what happened in this game yesterday, I think that they're going to, you know, based on Tomlin's reaction, I think Roethlisberger's probably going to be somebody who puts up a solid number of points against Washington.
Let me get to running backs. First of all, Taysom Hill I like a lot. The only thing is I don't know what they're going to be charging him for him this week. I haven't looked yet. Anyway, tell me about running backs, because, you know, you get a lot of points from a good back. What do we got?
I look at a thing called matchup points is one of the things that I look at. It's a rating of rush defenses, and if you're at 90 or higher, it's 1-100 scale. If you're 90 or higher, you're in the elites there. So the teams with the most favorable running back schedules this week, the most favorable matchup points, would be Chicago again. So maybe if you don't like Trubisky, Montgomery might be somebody who could be
Montgomery. I don't like the run block.
Montgomery.
Forget about Chicago. Who else you got?
Yeah, I like Indianapolis against Houston. We'll see what happens with the split of the carry in their backfield, the carry division. But still, Taylor Hines and Wilkins could all be good plays for the Dolphins. They're facing the Bengals rush defense, which has been terrible. So Breida could be a possible good pick. Depends on what happens at Gaskin and such, but he might be somebody who could be a good play. I like the Patriots. I think their backs are going to get a lot of play this week. They're going to run the ball a lot against the Chargers, whose pass defense is very strong and run defense is terrible. And I like San Francisco, whoever they end up playing there.
What back do I take off of New England?
I'm probably going Damian Harris because he's been getting the double-digit carries. And because if you think he's going to get 15, I don't think they're going to switch to Michelle. I mean, I like White maybe in a PPR league, but I think Harris will get 15 to 20 touches.
I like it. The great Casey Joyner, ladies and gentlemen, the football scientist. Check him out at Casey Joyner, TFS, the football scientist, TFS, at Casey Joyner, TFS, ESPN NFL insider. Thanks, Casey. Appreciate it as always. Steelers did indeed get the win, but at what cost? At what cost? It's time for some straight talk.
Max, the podcast.
That's it. The Steelers are 11-0 and have put Baltimore Ravens in the rearview mirror.
11-0 are the Steelers after beating the Ravens at home to finally wrap up Week 12.
Were you okay that this game was played?
Yeah, I mean, it's a football game. In football games, in football seasons, you're going to have adversity, and especially in 2020.
Coach Mike Tomlin. Look, I'm not saying he's the best coach in football. Bill Belichick's the greatest football coach of all time. But if I were a player, I would want to play for Mike Tomlin. This dude talks, you're like, I run through a wall, boy. Tomlin has conviction when he talks. And you can see he's player friendly.
So when he says the Steelers' effort in the win was junior varsity, you believe he has his team's attention. Quote, it was really junior varsity, to be quite honest with you, Tomlin said after the Steelers improved to 11-0 with a 19-14 victory over the Ravens. It was an It was in all three phases, he added. We are fortunate tonight. It's good to proceed with the victory. I acknowledge that, but not a lot happened tonight to be proud of or to be excited about other than that. And that's the point. This is why it was the best thing for the Steelers. They got the win, so they're still undefeated. And let's not pretend. Look, I know some Steelers fans. Stephen A. was talking about it. They want to get a loss or two out of their system in the regular season, right? But come on. Steelers fans, you don't want to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl, right? No one's ever done it in the 16-game era. And I don't think you're going to do it. I don't think you will. But, you know, you happy you got that win? You're still undefeated? In week 13, you got 11 wins? The problem is this. Steelers got screwed this season because of COVID. I mean, the whole world did, especially this country, because of incompetence at the highest levels of our government, federal government. But that's changing now. But in the meantime, they really got screwed. Like the Steelers, they had to move their bye week to week four, right? In the middle of a soft schedule, they have to move their bye week because the Titans get COVID, right? Not the Steelers, the Titans. Not that it's necessarily anyone's fault. You can follow protocols and be careful and still wind up with COVID. Many have. It's very contagious. It's hard to track. Incubation period takes a long time when you're in asymptomatic. I get it. Nevertheless, the Steelers didn't have it. The Titans did, and they had to get their schedule changed around. But the league, they tried to adjust and compensate by giving the Steelers a little mini bye later in the season, which also went by the wayside because the Ravens got COVID, tested positive every day for 10 straight days. So the Steelers are getting ready. No. Hurry up and wait. And they finally play the game, and guess what? They have a Washington game on the schedule. Like, okay, they're playing Wednesday. That's a short week because the league accommodated them by moving the game from Sunday to Monday. But on Monday, they got to play again. And they're playing a Washington team. And they could be on upset alert. Washington's played better and better. Right now, considering Daniel Jones just got hurt, they're probably the best team in the NFC East, which is not saying much, but still. Their defense is pretty good. Like they've been playing better as the season's gone on. And what did Ryan Clark tell Stephen A. and me on First Take? The best time to play the Steelers or Ravens is the week after they've played each other. Because it's such an intense rivalry. They're all beaten up, battered, and bruised, and there's an emotional letdown. Especially against a losing team like Washington, who is nevertheless not so bad. They're capable of beating the team. That's a trap game. It is. Uh-huh. But, so think about what happened. The Steelers escape with a win against the Ravens, perfect record intact, and now on a short week where they're set up to have a trap game, instead, their coach comes out.
Mm-hmm. Believe my. Yeah. What you doing over there, man? I'm hearing stuff dropping and falling. Yep. What you doing, man? You playing Jenga
Mike just
while
fell,
you're doing
but
the show?
Mike just fell, but I put it back on. Instead,
you're doing Jenga?
This is for ESPN Plus. You can check this show out on ESPN Plus. By the way, ESPN Plus, I got to do a commercial for ESPN Plus real quick. And I'm not. I mean, you could say I'm shilling, but I'm really not. I would say this if a stranger walked up to me on the street. I didn't work at ESPN. ESPN Plus is such a great service. Someone I know subscribe to it just to catch the radio show. They wanted to watch it on TV. Hey, it's not on news anymore. I'm like, no, it's on Plus. It's even better. Trust me. So they subscribe to ESPN Plus. They're like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm like, trust me. They come back. They're like, first they watched old basketball games or old football games. They watched Hagler Hearns. There's such an archive on ESPN Plus. And in addition to that, you get like pay-per-view level fights and MMA, and all the insider stuff. It's such a great service. Anyway, you can check this out on ESPN Plus. That's the microphone that dropped, the one for the camera. Where was I? So not only do you get the win against the Ravens if you're the Steelers, but in a game you could have lost, you're totally prepared for. Because your coach came out and told the truth about your performance. A lot of times, remember how Max and Marcellus would talk about this, Raj, back in the day? A lot of times, in a win, guys don't really, and teams and even coaches are guilty of this, don't really go over all the things you did wrong because you feel good that you won. And it kind of papers over a lot of the mistakes underneath. You know, a win or a loss can come down to a few plays, a few calls, a few whistles. And everything else that went into that kind of evened itself out. And this one or two, these one or two plays made the difference. But if all those other things that went into getting you to that high leverage point, if you can get yourself buttoned up on a few of those and win a few of those battles, now it doesn't come down to that high leverage moment, right? And in a win, you're less likely to pay meticulous kind of attention, to be meticulous about going over the details.
Give me 2 minutes.
By the way, that's why that's another thing that's on ESPN Plus, Kobe Bryant's details. Check out Kobe Bryant. Check out Kobe Bryant analyzing games. But details is such a talk about Mamba mentality. It's such an important thing. Got to go over the details. And the Steelers are much more likely to kind of view this as a loss without the psychological damage of actually having lost, but with the advantage of making them sharper for Washington. And if they get by Washington, I think it'll be partially as a result of this game. Now they're 12-0. Now comes the tough part of their schedule. Because they have the Bills. The Bengals are a softer game, obviously. And then they have the Colts, and they end on the Browns. They whooped up on the Browns earlier in the season. But the Browns are a good team. Colts are a good team. Bills are a good team. That's 3 out of 4. So they get by Washington. That's a trap game. But when you analyze it, who do you like? The Steelers or the Browns? I like the Steelers. Steelers or Colts? Steelers or Bills, that could go either way. If they're 14-2, if they're 15-1, one of those two games is the game they lose. But now imagine they get past Washington, this game actually having been good for them. If they can get by the Bills, that's the game you circle, and you go, okay, now really they might go undefeated. Imagine what a thing that would be in 2020. Oh, isn't that 2020, right? With everything we've been through in the year of COVID, the upheaval in our politics and our social fabric. Imagine if the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe the greatest franchise in the history of the Super Bowl era, imagine if they went undefeated. Who you'd rather have, John Wall? Russell Westbrook, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Last take is next. 2020 has changed the world of sports.
Max, the podcast.
Wizards and Rockets agree to a John Wall, Russell Westbrook trade. The Wizards announced they're sending Wall and a future first-round pick to the Rockets for Westbrook. It's a deal that the players wanted and has been simmering for weeks. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the pick is a lottery-protected 2023 selection, Woj reports. What does this superstar trade mean for James Harden and Bradley Beal? Well, Bradley Beal goes from a star on an irrelevant team to a star on a team that's going to make the playoffs and be live once they get there, I think. That's a great backcourt. Like, you know, Westbrook and Bradley Beal is probably the second best backcourt in basketball right now to Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And we'll see if it's not the best, considering Klay's injury. And even then. Meantime, the Rockets. This is what happens when Daryl Morey's not your GM anymore. You extract a first-round pick that's lottery-protected from Russell Westbrook's deal. You're out from under it, but you got John Wall. It's a downgrade. And he has a big contract. Wizards won the deal. Best player in the deal. The team with the best player in the deal wins the deal. Wizards won the deal. You know how you know Westbrook's better? They had to give up a first-round pick with Wall to get him. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
How you doing, Max? Thanks for taking my call. Yes, there's a reason that Jeannie Buss is the first woman's owner to win an NBA championship. It's because she has the good sense to partner with capable people like her dad did. Jerry Buss partnered with Jerry West, lead executive. And we all know that Jeannie has partnered with LeBron James in Clutch Sports. And that symmetry and not fighting for power, i.e. what happened to LeBron in Cleveland, is why they won the first championship.
You know what's interesting, though? What's interesting is that it's a little bit more complicated than that. I hear what you're saying, but I thought that, too. It's a Clutch Sports inside job. Clutch Sports decides who wins the title, who's the next dynasty. Cleveland, Miami, and then Cleveland, and then the Lakers, where LeBron goes. They get him some stars or another superstar. The issue was this, though. Why wasn't Ty Lue the coach? Why was Rob Pelinka the GM? See that? Like, I always thought it was a power struggle between Magic, LeBron, and Kobe, the three kind of, Lakers superstars who weren't bigs, the three greatest who weren't bigs. And to me, it was Magic got moved out, it looked to me, by Kobe, because Pelinka was Kobe's guy. And I thought, that's interesting. Kobe's guy is in there. That means Kobe has a lot of juice with Genie still, the late, great Kobe Bryant. And even though Clutch, like you would think Clutch would get their GM sort of in there. It didn't work that way, but it worked. Kobe's guy, Rob Pelinka, is excellent. And clearly, I was wrong about him. And Clutch Sports, meantime, is feeding the Lakers players. But you're right about the relationship. That's what Genie learned from her father. Relationships are important in the business. And KCP, they had some cap space. No one wanted to take their money. All right, here, KCP, take $17 million on a one-year deal. Hey, Rich, we're doing this on the strength. You know what I mean? Your client just got not worth $17 a year. He's getting $17. LeBron's coming, right? Steve in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Steve. How's it going?
Good, Steve. Established. What you got, Steve?
Steve, hey, man, I just want to tell you, I'm so excited. Cool. That it's cool. And it's so cool that you're on the radio because I really enjoy you on the box.
Thank you, brother.
Now, what I wanted to say about the – yeah, fantastic. You make it more entertaining. But what makes it even more entertaining is the fact there aren't any tans. And the fact is you can hear the punches hit the body. Mm. You can hear the corner men talk to the boxers. It's better than being there.
That's
interesting. And I'll tell you something to all my sports brothers and sisters out there. If you're not watching professional boxing right now, for the men, you're losing some points on your man card because it is the most exciting boxing I've ever seen. The last 12 bouts have been, even in the undercard for the Tyson fight, fantastic.
Yeah, there were good fights on the undercard. You're right. And I'll say this. It's an interesting point. Without fans there, you actually hear more of it. You experience more of the actual fight. It's like being in the gym and watching a sparring session, only these dudes ain't sparring. By the way, some of the women are upset that during the pandemic, they haven't been able to make fights. There hasn't been enough, money to go around, or they're not getting paid, they feel, accordingly, and they're not getting enough fights. So you talked about the man card. Fighters, period, want to fight.
Well, I'll say this, Steve,
we're out of time. We're out of time. But I'll say this. It's an interesting point. Boxing has been great since basically October. We've had fight after fight after fight, and Spence and Garcia is coming up next, and then Shakur Stevenson the next week. NBA is hot right now, though. We're going to see if any other news drops. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.